الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Just a little bit of revision again of the ayat so that we keep our focus that the month of Ramadan is really a month to reform ourselves, to correct ourselves. And with regard to that, our attitude is also very important for the month of Ramadan. Perhaps generally it is Ramadan has come, so we are going to keep our rozas. We are going to make 2 khatams, 5 khatams, whatever we have in our mind. And we'll make taraweeh also. We'll take out our zakat also. We'll give some charity. Our fitra we will give. Whatever things. And then Ramadan is over, so everything is done now. And then we go back to our lifestyle. So if we have that attitude, then the Ramadan won't, the what we have to take from Ramadan is not going to carry on. And perhaps set is also with regard to Umrah also. We go for Umrah, we go to Baytullah, and which is Hudal Linnas, a place of hidayat for mankind. We're going to Rauza Mubarak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is 100% alive in his qabr, and we are just at a better of about 7 to 10 meters away from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we also just go there just to do what we have to do. And when we come back, again we go back to our lifestyle. We got our sawabs, we went to make ibadat to get sawabs. Ramadan we are doing. And perhaps for some of us, even Jamaat, but though Jamaat, mashallah, hidayati, bayans are given, effort is made that it isn't just during, but many of us, while we are in Jamaat, we will sit on the floor and eat. A lot of other things we'll do. We'll make our ishraq, perhaps other namazes also. Everything we'll do. But when we come back home, then all that. Sometimes even our dressing, we got separate dressing for Jamaat. And then when we come back out of Jamaat, again our normal dressing. So in all these things, if we have this attitude, Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, Ta'amad Barakatum, explained very beautifully. He says, like, for example, you have a gardener who's working in a madrasa. Or the Dioban example he gave, which is even more effective, that the person who is in charge of the mic system, when the ustads are teaching, I don't know now, but when we were studying, the power failures were plenty. So you always had to have the backup of the battery, and the person had to be there. So he told this time that from Fajr time, classes after Fajr start, till 11 o'clock at night, he's there seeing to all this. And he's listening to all the sabaks. But his niyat is not to learn. He's there, he's listening. But his niyat is not to learn. So he doesn't become an alim. Otherwise, Mufti Sahib said, the best person to become Shaykh al-Hadith in the Darulum is he. When he has listened so much and from so many people he listened, then he is the best person. But his niyat is not there. He explained that, like with many students also who come, and if they haven't got the intention to become an alim, they enroll to become alim, hafiz. But their real intention wasn't there, so they play around. They don't attend classes, they take off, they are perhaps rude to the ustads also. So such a student seldom becomes what he's supposed to become. But that student who really wants to learn, and he's devoted, he learns. And a person also who becomes a hafiz also, and a good hafiz, as Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, in Fazail-e-Quran Sharif, complains about this, that many parents want the children to become hafiz, they do become, but the child was not interested. And even after he became hafiz, he's still not interested. So he doesn't carry on reading and that, and he says many of them, then they forget the Quran Sharif after having learned it so well, pakka, they knew it. But then they forget it again because his niyat, his jazba wasn't there. So just like that, Ramadan also for us, if it is for us also, that we came for at the calf also, everything else, or anyone, anywhere where he is. But just that perhaps it is a general attitude that Ramadan has come, we must keep our rozas now, we must make our tilawat, must change our lifestyle, adapt to Ramadan, and Ramadan is finished, and perhaps we tell this to ourselves in the family also, perhaps with friends also. Another 2 weeks left, then Ramadan is over, then we can carry on again. Whatever we want to do and all that, we can carry on. Perhaps a mother tells the daughter, the children also, it's still Ramadan, now don't do this, don't do that. After Ramadan, we can do it again. So if we have that, then we have really defeated the real purpose. And though we might have made a lot of ibadat, we didn't miss one tarawih, we made a lot of khatams, we did everything. But the real purpose of Ramadan, to bring the change, taqwa in our lives, that we have not. And taqwa wasn't only for Ramadan, it is to carry on right through our whole lives, for the rest of the year, and afterwards, the whole life also. So Allah Ta'ala make it that we keep our focus on that all the time. That whatever we have come here, whatever we are doing, or wherever we are, whether we are here, we are not here, we came for a few days, we came for the whole month, we're coming next year, we're not coming again, but Ramadan and all our ibadat, even namaz, if we just take it that I've come to make namaz, and it's my duty, my faraz, I've completed it, now it's finished. And we find many of us also that after namaz, two pieces in the pocket. For namaz, we rolled our trousers up above the ankles. After namaz, we put them down again, put the topi in the pocket again. And we carry on again normal. That was not the real purpose of namaz, that you just fulfill your namaz. And then you carry on with your life again. That is in other things it could be. And which also non-Muslims want us. Non-Muslims want us to have this attitude in our lives, that our deen is one compartment in our lives. When you do social gatherings, that's a separate. You do it as that is supposed to be done. Business, you do it as business, how the business is. You're a citizen of the country, you live as the citizen of the country. In fact, the constitutions of countries want religion, you have got freedom of religion, but the constitution, and as a citizen, you are first obliged and to fulfill, to live as a citizen of the country. That law comes first, and your religious law comes afterwards. And if it coincides, well and good, you do both. If it does not agree and coincide, the law of the country takes preference. But as Muslims, we can't have that. Allah's law. The government didn't create us. The government, they don't give us food. In fact, they take how much taxes. And people who have worked on taxes, how much of taxes is taken from an ordinary person? Now forget the other people who have to pay a lot of taxes, just from the ordinary person, in various forms, so much of taxes, they are taking from us. They are not, and Allah Ta'ala is just giving us. Allah feeds us, Allah sees to our health, Allah Ta'ala sees to everything. So Allah's law is that, and we're not going, when we die, we're not going to go to the government, we are going to Allah Ta'ala. The government is there, and we don't teach or we don't propagate that we go against the government. The government is there, it does its duty, we also follow accordingly, we do everything, but Allah's law is first, and Allah's law is above everything. So we have to have that in us, in all our matters. So, they want to live a departmental life. That when it comes to religion, no problem. The Jew goes to the synagogue, the Muslim goes to the masjid, Christian goes to the church, Hindu goes to his temple, and you worship as you want to. But when you're on the sports ground, then don't bring your religion there. Now you play sports as the rules of sports are. How their dressing is, you follow that. Whatever they do, you do all those things. When it comes to business, don't bring your religion into business now. Now business, you do as the business, all other business, whether legal practices, illegal, and in fact, business also, the laws are set also, that there are things which are not permissible, but businessmen again amongst themselves, though they've got a lot of other things, they'll also want you must do it according to that way. How many times it is surprising to people when you want to do so what we will call a clean deal. That person doesn't work like that. And yeah, the deals and everything, it works in a different way. It doesn't work as what you are want, what kind of deal you want. So that type of Islam is not for us. And neither are we according to time Muslims. That this time we go to the masjid, we are Muslims, and we properly, 100%. We go out of the masjid, then again we got our freedom and we do just as we feel like. When we in our house, and how many we get complaints of good people who are like in deen. But when it is some matter of the deen, some whatever matter, for example, Allah save us all, a divorce matter came about of our son or daughter, then they say don't bring religion here. Don't bring deen in here. Now this we will sort out as we sort it out. Whether we have to then resort to violence also to get a, whatever to get the talaq or to have the talaq given or talaq given or whatever, then we will use that system. But here now don't speak about deen. Here now a different system applies here. So that is not the case. We have to come one udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Fully and totally we have to enter into Islam, and wherever we are Muslims, and we have to live according to Muslims. We've taught this, we listen, we cherish this, but practically we know we are very weak, and we admit our weaknesses. Where are we practical true Muslims? Allah bring us to that stage, that is what we want. But this is now not that if a person is not, so he can't fulfill every law. If we are driving on the road, you must one stop street or one traffic light you didn't stop. Now it doesn't mean because you didn't stop at that one, now you don't stop at the next one also. No, if you made a mistake, you made a mistake. Or whatever reason you didn't stop, you didn't stop. You crossed the solid line, for example. You went over the speed limit, but doesn't mean now somebody uses that as an argument against you. You broke the law there, now just carry on breaking it. So in our deen also, we do make mistakes. But somebody tell us, there you break the law, so break the law here also. Now it doesn't like that. We try as far as possible. Our desire also is, we want to maintain the laws. Where we break the laws, it's our fault, it's our weakness, it's our nafs. We are being overpowered. But that is not the norm. And that is not the standard in any way whatsoever. We all have got our weaknesses. For example, somebody tells you to do something, you ask him, you get up for tahajjud. So if he is not getting up for tahajjud, now how can you tell me to do this? Or somebody doesn't come for fajr, for example, and he is telling you about some other thing, you tell him, you get up for fajr. So if he's not getting up for fajr, that is this. But because he's not getting up for fajr, it doesn't mean he can't tell you also about the right thing. For example, a father, he's not getting up for fajr. He tells the son about some other thing, about deen, about some other namaz or whatever. And the son says, but you don't make fajr. That is not a valid argument. What has to be done has to be done. What we are not doing is how, yes, perfect, you lead by way of example. You be a model and an example. That is what is required. But just to justify ourselves. So Ramadan is not a month that we kept our rozas and we did everything, and after Ramadan we go back. When that is the case, we take that attitude, then we just want to keep hungry. And keeping hungry is not a roza. And in fact, if a person, even Ramadan, if his niyat is not to keep roza, for whatever reason, and whole day he stayed hungry, of course his roza is not done, niyat is farad. You have to make your niyat, though you don't have to niyat also. The masala of niyat is not, it must be verbal, it's in your heart what you're going to do. So our Ramadan, we must make our niyat for our Islam, to change ourselves. When Ramadan passes, then it has to carry on. That Islah must carry on. We won't still be keeping rozas every day. We won't be making so much tilawat every day. But that what we had to get from Ramadan, the taqwa, that has to carry on. And that must accelerate. It must become stronger all the time. And for next year, we come into Ramadan at a higher level. and we improve ourselves, and we get more out of that Ramadan, and this way then when the day comes when we have to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah make it the most pleasant day. So Allah has been very, very kind that He has given us this great auspicious month of Ramadan, and He has given it for our islah, and He's put everything together for us. The Quran Sharif, the rozas, the tilawat, du'as, our tawbah and istighfar, all these things Allah Ta'ala has put together. So if we take this advantage of this, and we make that niyat that we are going to prepare like that, we will carry on. Another example to understand this, perhaps, we've got a habit that the watch, if somebody asks you the time, you saw the time. Or a person who is writing invoices in a shop. He's writing one invoice, he looks at the the date, he writes it. After that, he's making another invoice. It's not in his mind what is the date. Again, he looks at the watch. Because his niyat was not to remember that. His niyat was just to see it for that time. Some people read Quran Sharif so much, but the niyat is not to become happy. So it doesn't register in their mind. And perhaps the HIP students read the same amount of time, but his niyat is to remember, to become a hafiz. He becomes a hafiz. And this one perhaps made the same effort, but it wasn't that I want to learn this, I want to know it. So the same way with the month of Ramadan, if our niyat is that we want to bring this change, we want to bring this taqwa, we want to make our islah, reform ourselves, if that is our attitude, then even one day of Ramadan will bring a great change in our lives. And if not, our full 30 days with ibadat, with i'tikaf, but yet it won't carry on. And almost immediately after Ramadan, our whole thing will change again. So it's very, very necessary what we spoke about, that it is for Islah and our sincerity in that Islah. Sincerity is for Allah also. And we sincere to ourselves also, that I'm in Ramadan for my Islah. We are sincere to ourselves also, that I have to make my Islah. That isn't just that I'm going to be making more ibadat and more all my other activities of Ramadan. If that is the case, we will do it and we will get the sawab. Allah is most merciful. But then after Ramadan, we will commonly and generally find there is a whole relapse and we are going back into our lives. There was a time, Allah made that it isn't anymore and it doesn't come back. And people, they should go for Hajj without beards. During Hajj, they shouldn't shave their beards. And those days, they should go for 4 months, 6 months. So the beard should grow fully. And when they come to Jeddah, they should say shave the beard again. So Hajj wasn't also to change your life. Hajj was to make Hajj. I made my Hajj finished, now it's over. Now I must keep a beard. And they would shave the beard at Jeddah. Very few people would come back with a beard. Today, alhamdulillah, there is a great difference and a great change. We can't make enough shukr to Allah Ta'ala. But also, as our Buzur say, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, gives this beautiful example. A businessman did good business one day. So he still got full with notes and with all the money. Now, every day he's not going to count that money just again. That I make myself happy. Yesterday I made so much money. Now that he puts away and forgets. That's done, it's done. Now today how much did I make? And the next day if he made less, though he made lots of stuff, but less than that day, he feels a bit sad also. That now today I have got a loss. As if he said a person makes a certain amount of profit in his business, his balance sheet came out, his financial statements. The next year he makes again a profit. But it was less than that year. Now he's gloomy. I've suffered a loss. He clear profit he made, but he didn't make how much he made that, or he didn't make more than that. He takes it as a loss. But when it comes to our deen, then we don't take it like that. So what has come in our tal, our cash register? How much have we got at the end? And how much are we carrying it forward? This for me it applies for all of us. And on the other hand, again, we mustn't be so negative. Many of us are acquiring this. It is coming in our lives. If we see over the years, that what was my Ramadan 10 years ago? What was my life 10 years ago? Now what it is? Alhamdulillah, this has come in my life. If we take, and Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, should emphasize this point. Look at this so you can make shukr. Otherwise, you're only going negative that every year Ramzan has come, it is gone. I went for Hajj, I went again for Umrah, I went another Umrah, I went another Hajj, I went Jamaat. How many times I did 4 months? How many times I did 40 days? But my life, but all those things, their lives are changing. The person, if he thinks, I didn't have a beard at one time, I didn't have sunnah dress at one time, I shouldn't wear topi. Now, how many wrong places I should go, wrong people I should associate with, how many things have gone out of our life. So we must make shukr also. Don't think that there isn't benefit. There is the benefit also. But let us also see it and acknowledge it and make sure that this benefit comes and it carries on also. And if we do it consciously, it will help us tremendously. Some of us, we feel also, what my life was 10 years ago, right out of line, completely out of line. Now this Ramzan, what I was expecting, I didn't get so much, so I feel I didn't benefit from the... No, you have benefited. Where were you at one time? And where are you today? One time we were in a Jamaat in one place, one youngster, grown up all now, many years ago. So then he was recalling on a Saturday night, the Jamaat's going out in the weekend. He said, at one time, what we were doing at this time of the night. And now here we are sitting in the masjid. So isn't that a change? Isn't that a great, great change? That where you were at one time and where you are now. So great, great changes have come. And in the Ummah generally, of course, a lot has to be done. As I said also, don't look at what has come. Look at what has to be done. And a lot has to be done in our lives, a lot has to be done. But what has come, make shukr for that also. And what we have to do, let us look forward and move in that direction. So Allah grant us that sincerity also. We realize that it is for our Islah. And with that sincerity that we want to do it, and realize the great value of the month of Ramadan, the value of rozas, the value of the Quran Sharif, all this Allah Ta'ala has put together. Then our rozas, our fasting, we there also we have to see that we're not only keeping the basics of the roza, which is also a great thing. There may be some people who are not even doing that. So we make shukr that we are doing. But let us build on that. Then we spoke about the tongue. We try and keep roza of the tongue also. And if we can make islah of the tongue, then by the end of Ramadan, and if we carry it on, if we did it, that I not only Ramadan I must control my tongue, but forever I must control my tongue. A person, what a great achievement, what a great ni'mat of Allah upon that person, that he managed to control his tongue, which was out of control. Many people know that lying, they feel so bad with themselves when they explain their bimari, they have got the problem. For nothing I lie. There's no reason. Sometimes you lie, you feel you're in a tight, tight spot to get out of it, which is not the right thing, and you're bringing yourself more in a problem. But you think that I will come out of it. But some of us, we are in that habit of lying, that we just don't need it in our lives. At that time, you don't need it, but you just got that habit. So we have to work on this, it comes on. What our tongue, some of us, swearing. And so much so, that for example a motor mechanic working on his car and something is not coming right, he swears the tools also. And what terrible swears he gives to the mother of the tool. Now what the poor mother and where the tool got a mother, but he's swearing there. Some of us, every second word is a swear word. We can't hold a discussion without a swear word coming out. So, and they feel guilty, many of us. And this is again another thing, when brother came, explained his condition, this ghaflat and unmindfulness. Sometimes those who become conscious that I lie so much, and not necessary for me to lie. I just for nothing, it has become a habit. Up to a certain stage, you don't realize you have got that. And then when you realize, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, if you realize, while we are still alive and the doors of Tawbah are still open for us, and we make amends and we change and we correct our lives. Swearing, many of us, we don't feel it anything wrong. That what is this? And in fact, a person who doesn't swear and speak straight, that person is like a very dry person. Whereas to have a good character and you speak nicely, that is required. And a dry person is something else. But here, until you don't swear, etc., it is not regarded that you know how to speak. Until you don't swear, you don't lie, etc. So all these things, Allah Ta'ala, make us conscious also. This ghaflat goes away from us. Many other things that we are in ghaflat of them also. And just to give one example, we gave it a few times, just to understand this ghaflat and unmindfulness of ours. For example, there is a certain social gathering at home. Some special guests are coming, you want to give them the best that you can, and you want to do everything to the T. So the samosas you want to fry, also hot samosas you want to give them. Not from the microwave, but from the frying pan, hot samosas. And in there also, unfortunately we go off so much. One friend had a problem with his wife and called to sort it out. So he said, I am food. I want food. And he says that if, for example, you cooked kari khichri, this yellow rice we eat, kari khichri, and you put it and just you cooked it 11 o'clock. It's ready by 12 o'clock, but I came and eat at 2 o'clock. And then you warm it up, that is not good enough for me. It must come from the stove into my plate. Everything of mine. He says, then if you're going to give it to me again, you're warming it up again after 2 hours, which is still, it's still warm also. He says, it is just like you are opening a tin of baked beans and you are giving me baked beans to eat. So some people like that, so particular they are about the food, about various things. So that from the frying pan, somebody that samosas are not good enough, though they were fried now, and you warm them again in this micro or something, that's not good enough. It must come from there. And some people want it even more fresh, the baking. Some of our friends we know that normally in a house, I suppose normal trend, they bake for the week, and then they use it. He says, that's not good enough for me. It must be baked fresh. And that fresh, from the oven, it must come, and I must have it. So some people are so particular about all these things. So in the same way, samosas, they wanted to give them from the frying pan. But unfortunately, that ghaflat, that unmindfulness which we don't think about, and there are many things, if we just consider, again I'm going off all the time, but what I feel, what comes in our mind. In fact, our Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he asked me, when you make bayan, then how do you make bayan? Other thoughts come. I said, lot of other thoughts. And he was very happy about it. He didn't find fault in it. Though normally we would like one bayan in sequence, it must go properly, etc. But he said, this is, Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah, one of our elders, it seemed that they used to stutter when they speak. But it wasn't stuttering. So many things should come in their mind that they can't choose. Must I say this? Must I say this? Must I say that? So all that, it comes. And then what we feel is beneficial, we would like to share it also. So what was this though? So there's ghaflat. There are many things of ghaflat that we have got. Lights that we leave on. And grown-ups, not only the children, and not only in an institute here. Yeah, we have a lot of problems here. Whenever you go to the toilet, you'll find out of about 12 lights, 3-4 are left on. The students don't put them off. And we don't learn the habit now. It carries on. In our homes, the grown-ups, many lights are left on unnecessarily. Taps were not closed properly. Water is leaking, drops, and all this is all ghaflat. And it is guna also. It's wastage. Electricity is not only electricity which is being wasted, it is water, because water generates the electricity. And now you wasted the electricity also, you wasted water also. Lot of this ghaflat, too much in our lives. So we, Allah Ta'ala, make it, if this we can understand, there are a lot of things. And how many times, for the oil bottle, you used the oil, you didn't close it again. And there, the bottle just got knocked down. A whole lot of problem. Now it fell into some, into all the cutlery, for that drawer was left open. All the oil also got wasted, it fell into that cutlery, all that cleaning has to be done. Perhaps it fell on a child also. Not hot oil, but just that oil. Now the child you have to change, his clothes again. And how lot of looks, and that to put that lid back again, a few seconds. Hey, but we are, a lot of things we are in ghaflat. When we are in Jamaat, we want to put oil, or somebody is putting oil on the head. And now you left the bottle open. Another person came, he didn't see, he knocked it down. Now the masjid, musalla, you have spoiled. Now there is a problem, the mutawallis are taking, Jamaat people coming spoil our masjid here. Now you have created another problem again. All just because of this ghaflat. So if we can understand this ghaflat, if it can go out of our lives. The same ghaflat is when we go out of Ramadan from here, again we are back in that life. Ramadan is finished, it was there, Azad well, Kharta, we stayed there, now I'm going back home again to my wife, to my children, we're going for a holiday the next day, but that life is finished now, now a new life. Also, with regard to that, we find how many times brothers come from Jamaat, and when they come from Jamaat, now the wife was 4 months in the house, I must give her out, now you go for a holiday. And you go to some resort or something. What life you led for 4 months, and now what life you're going to lead in the resort again. So this year, complete. So Allah Ta'ala make that we become conscious of this. And this ghaflat of ours goes away. And this ghaflat, it gives birth to so many other problems. This one we are explaining. Now that that frying pan, the handle was left this side of the stove. And then a little child, that also is ghaflat. The child is not supposed to be. We have this problem again. Many places, wherever there are ladies' programs, then the children also come. Many places they want to stop the children. That is also causes a problem. With whom must they leave the children? They bring them there, children running a racket, they're making a noise. The mother is not worried at all. To stop the child. The child is interfering. If it's in somebody's house, the child is interfering with something in the house. But the mother is just unmindful, doesn't care. The mother has to control the child and see to the child. But just left like that, how many times, how many things things just go wrong because of not control of the child. In the masjid, we have the problem. Now you bring the child in the first stuff. Imam Sahib say not permitted. Now there's a fight in the masjid. And the children making a noise at the back, somebody shouts. And that is a problem again. At least the children are coming to the masjid, they're stopping them from that also. And what wrong interpretations are given. The children who can't respect the masjid are not permitted to come here. And the person, the father is not worried of controlling the child. So all this lot of things that we just don't worry. So in the kitchen environment also, the children are not controlled, the mother didn't control the child, and there the child pulled that handle down with the hot oil. And now that hot oil fell on the child. Now where it was going to be a happy social gathering event, you were looking so much forward to those people, and you wanted to do the best for them, has turned into a complete, total opposite disaster. May Allah protect us all of all these things. It happens in driving. And today with the cell phone. And then what a person easily say, I got a blackout. No blackout. It was your cell phone you were busy with. Now you enter, and sometimes not one car is involved, 5, 10 cars. Lives are lost. That little ghaflat of yours, you were messaging. Or you were looking at a message on your phone. All these things are happening all the time. But unfortunately, we still remain in our ghaflat, in our unmindfulness. Allah Ta'ala make that we understand. So coming then to we were speaking about the eyes, we spoke about the tongue, about the eyes. One example, a reality, which inshallah will be beneficial for all of us. That to control the eyes we all know, but again that ghaflat and that our eyes are right out of control. It's out of control. Generally, our eyes are out of control. So, there was a nikah here in our masjid here. They asked me to say a few words. So I said, and Allah knows, again the same thing, that just some subject came and I spoke on it. So I spoke that if a person controls his eyes in namaz, which is mustahab, it's not farad, it's not a wajib, that when you are standing, you look at the place of sajda. When you go in ruku, you look at your feet, the toes, the feet. And when you go into sajda, in sajda, then you focus on the tip of your nose. You can't see your nose. There's also a separate thing that your eyes are right above. You've got a tower there. And your eyes are on top. But the nose, which is right and below it, you can't see it. So anyway, you focus on the tip of your toes. And your eyes must be open in sajda also. Commonly it happens if we don't consider, in sajda we close our eyes. Whereas they have to be open. And when we are sitting in a tahiyat position, jalsa, then we must look into our lap. And when we make salam, we must focus on our shoulders. So I mentioned that, and I said a person who does this, then outside his eyes will also be under control. Again, that little, if we make namaz for namaz to change our lives. So we came in here, we serviced ourselves, we changed ourselves. Out of namaz, when we are now in the shop, we are at home, wherever we are, our eyes are under control. And everything else also, if our namaz is one thing, if it comes right, everything else of ours will come right also. So I said that and finished, everything was over. After about 2 months, a good friend of ours, he's quite elderly, he's sickly also, make dua for all the sick people. Allah give all shifa, all who have got problems, whatever they are in difficulty, so many people. Allah relieve us of all our problems. There is a month for duas. So anyway, he phoned me and he told me, I had this sickness, spiritual sickness of looking at other women. I got a wife, my wife is very good, no problem with my wife, we have a good relationship also, but I just keep on looking. And he was sincere, for that reason he made a second nikah. Not for anything else, but just to control his eyes. But he says, same problem, still it persisted, it just didn't go away. But since I've practiced on this now, this 2 months, he says now 100% my eyes are under control. So like that, this eyes of ours, our namazes that we are making, if we keep our eyes where they are supposed to be, and also with this in mind, I'm making islah of my eyes, correcting them. They must see what they are supposed to see at that time. In that way we do it, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will relieve us. And any person, again, till that ghaflat is there, unmindfulness, a person's eyes are just wandering around. But he doesn't feel anything about it. And if anybody speaks about the subject also, he's also in the bayan also, he'll look around. It's not any important subject or anything. But when the day that parda moves, that hijab moves a little bit, and you realize what a bad, terrible thing it is. That where Allah Ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ, that Allah Ta'ala knows the khiyanat, the disloyalty, the treachery of the eyes. Allah Ta'ala knows that also. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair used to say, this is proof that khiyanat, the opposite of it is amanat. That the eye is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. And when you're looking in the wrong places and wrong things you are looking at, you are making khiyanat. Normally we take khiyanat, a person is, does wrong as far as money matters are concerned. He's not. Fraud, etc. We will take it normally in money matters. But every part is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. This month of Ramadan is an amanat by us. Quran Sharif is an amanat. Our eyes are an amanat also. And if we use it wrongly, it is also like fraud. It is like stealing. It is doing wrong with our wrong that we are doing. It isn't only the opposite of amanat. The khiyanat is not only in money matters. It is in everything. So this eye where Allah Ta'ala says Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes whenever you are looking wrong. So it is an amanat. It is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala also. It is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave it, and today we are such. If we give somebody something and they misuse it, then we say, I'm going to take it back. Our children, you're not using it right. I'm going to take it back. If Allah says, I'll take your eyes a little bit back also. Your vision, I'll just make it weaker. What's our condition? And Allah save us all. If we got no vision, our eyes, Allah make us blind, what will be our condition? So it is a amanat, it is a trust from Allah, it is a great gift of Allah, and it is a thing with the eyes. see the get the marifat of see sort of see sort of see Allah Ta'ala. Use your eyes to see Allah Ta'ala. And in there the eye to see Allah Ta'ala, the great example our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave, which Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali over near 1,000 years ago, he gave this example, and he says that the thing that sees in the eye, Maulana Rumi wasn't an optometrist, and he didn't go and study all that, but he told the thing that sees of the eye is the very middle part, the pupil. And a person might have green eyes, a person might have blue eyes, a person might have gray eyes, brown eyes, black eyes. That is that part which is around the pupil. Or that we say this person got green eyes, blue eyes, whatever color eyes. But the middle part and the part of the eye that sees is the pupil. And that Allah made black. And in black darkness Allah kept light. This is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Then Hazrat explains that on various other examples in which we see the great qudrat of Allah, that water is a thing that if you pour water, it doesn't flow backwards. It flows downwards all the time. But any country, the top of the country, the waves that come, they only come till the shore. Whose qudrat and whose power it is that they don't overrun the whole country or the coastal city, but they go back again. It is the qudrat of Allah. The bottom of the countries, it is at the bottom, like the world is oval, like round. If you have a soccer ball, and at the bottom, the people who are walking, their legs are on top, heads are at the bottom. The cars that are moving, the trains that are moving, the wheels are on top, the body of the car is at the bottom. But no way in the world will you see it happening like that. Allah, this is Allah's absolute qudrat. Allah is beyond everything. Allah Ta'ala's qudrat is so great. So this eye, it is also to see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And in that same qudrat also we see the eye that is right above the nose, but we can't see the tip of the nose. We don't know, we can't see it. And keeping the eyes open in namaz, that is also one command, a whole namaz. Hazrat Maulana is mentioned, and many other buzurgs also, sometimes we use hear it of other buzurgs. Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali taught his murids to do practical namaz, which inshallah will be done here also. And then one murid went there, it was genuine murid, he went and practiced accordingly. When we learn anything, how much do we really, when we even make muzakara, think of it again, we made notes, go through our notes again, and making notes also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that keep a diary and write down everything. If you don't, you'll get diarrhea. If you don't keep a diary, you'll get diarrhea. That is, whatever you listen, in diarrhea, everything just goes out. Like that, everything will be gone. But if we noted it also, how many of us go and read it again? We'll go make muzakra. That is what it is. So this was one such genuine murid. And accordingly, everyone gets according to his capacity. So he went and make namaz on his own, which was a time for resting now. And he tried and make namaz how they were taught. And then he rested for a while, in which he saw a hoor of his that was given to him, but she was blind. So he told Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali his dream. Hazrat said, it looks like you made your namaz with your eyes closed. So he said, yes, for concentration, so I could concentrate better. So Hazrat said, the value, more than your concentration, more than that, the value is of the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To practice on the sunnah, whether you get that, you get the concentration, alhamdulillah. But even if you don't get it, sunnah is more important. Otherwise, a person will go, and there are people like that. That namaz, they don't make the namaz according to sunnah how. Do you stand, go, ruku, sajda. They said, we just sit and we meditate. And we have more concentration of Allah. 2, 3 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, you sit and you ponder about Allah, Allah's qudrat, everything. But that will be totally rejected. If you 5 times a day, 10 times a day, you sit and meditate, but you don't make your namazes as we are supposed to make, it will be totally rejected. The sunnat tariqah. And from there, let us understand our whole life also. You bring sunnat, no matter how much we say we want to do it in our way, we want to do it in a better way, in a more, today we got more information, science has progressed so much, knowledge has progressed so much, we doing it in our way. No, we will have to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, so this eyes, that we practice our namazes also. Allah give us tawfiq. And we try and make our namazes, when we make salam, also on the shoulders, and make niyat of the malaika which are sitting here also, and all the other niyats also which were required when we in jamaat namaz, and at all times we try and control the eyes also in namaz particularly. And if we do this, hopefully, and if a person's eyes come under control, what great rewards, what great enjoyment he will get in his life. Halawat-e iman is promised on that, and by Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it is promised. And all the other great, great benefits he will get. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.